Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to talk about the best way to get out of your own head and the future. I'll explain. Before we get into the magic of the best way to get out of your head, I'd like to go over some current events. You know, I am kind of hell-bent on changing the way acting is taught. I think that there needs to be a shift. If you haven't gotten it already through the podcasts, I think that people are stuck in a tradition that just isn't that effective these days, and I can prove it anywhere, anytime. I've written a book. I do these podcasts. Obviously, I have a website with videos and whatnot, and I'm really making an argument for this. And so I appreciate all the support we've been getting for this podcast and helping me with the cause. If you are enjoying what you're hearing, I'll tell you a few things would really help me out. One would be, I'd love to hear about anything you would like me to talk about on the air. Any stories you want to share with me and, ask for my thoughts on them. Anything at all. Now, I imagine there has to be because, if you're listening to these podcasts, then you are inquisitive and you're looking for information that might be useful to you. And so I think you've probably had experiences, things. You've probably questioned things. I would love to hear from you. Just send me an email. If I can use it on the podcast, I will answer it on the podcast. I don't use last names. And then if I can't use it on the podcast, I certainly will answer or give you my thoughts in an email back to you. It would be very helpful. Now I'm going to ask you. You see, I learned when I was a kid that when you tell someone, hey, call 911, they say if you're ever in a crowd, to point to a person because everyone will stand there and do nothing. So you point to the person and you say, call 911. And I actually had to do that once. I was actually in the center of a crowd. And I did that and I remembered it and I pointed and that person immediately walked away and to call 911. So, I'm looking at you right now. I'm speaking to you. No, don't look around. Do not look around. I'm looking right at you. I would like you. That's right. That's right, you. To please send me an email, jeff@reallifeactor.com. Ask me anything. Give me something to chat about. I'd love to hear from you. Let's get involved, people. You seem to be enjoying these chats. Come on. Get involved with me. Okay, there's that. All right, here's the other thing. And so I am going to be going to a few places, and I wanted to bring them up to let you know. I'm going to be in L.A. in September, in about 3 weeks from now. And I am going to be doing a two-day seminar on the 9th and 10th. But prior to that, on the 5th, a Tuesday night in LA, I'm going to be doing a free class, lecture demonstration. And so I'm going to be looking for people to show up. It's absolutely free. We're not going to try and sell you any land in Florida. This is just a free evening. You can show up. And those of you that are interested in working on something with me, because I'm going to want to work with, a handful of people to be able to demonstrate what I'm talking about. Tell me that in the email. And then beforehand, I'll send you something to look at, scenes. I'm going to be throwing down. And I'm doing it because I really want to prove this approach. I want you to see it work. I have no idea who these people are that I'm going to be working with. I have no idea, what the deal's going to be. But what I'm going to promise you is that lickety-split, super fast, you're going to see how great the work immediately gets on behalf of the actors, how it all just comes together super fast, and how I never, ever discuss acting at all. At all. I don't use any terminology. Now, I keep saying that. And I'm sure some of you in your minds are just kind of thinking, yeah, but of course he talks about beats and structure. No, I don't. And I'd love for you to see how this works. Because this is actually going to speak to the latter half of this podcast, and it is one of my theories for how you keep actors from venturing too far into their head. You leave a lot of room for instinctual, just smart heads up in the moment behavior, and you know, you're very careful about too much unnecessary information going into that old noggin. Anyway, so I'll be hitting that later in this podcast, but I want people to see how this works. And I need your help. I need your help in as much as I'd love it if you showed up and witnessed whatever it was you saw. Because you see, I think it's gonna have a huge effect on you when you see it. Now I know that's so outrageous. I'm sorry, I know I speak this way and I hear myself and my parents taught me better. But the point is, I'm willing to prove it to you if you show up. So I guess I'm a blowhard until you show up and I actually do what I say. And at that point, I'm just a truth teller of an approach that is actually as effective as it says it is on the side of the box. This is what I want to do. So what do I need from you? I just need some witnesses, man. I need you to just show up. I promise you, you'll be entertained. I promise you that it'll make terrific sense and you'll really enjoy yourself. And if you don't, walk out really fast, man, and I apologize in advance. But otherwise, it would really be groovy if you and all of your friends and cohorts showed up. Because I am going to throw down in a major way, and I am saying it's going to be different from everything you've seen, and it's going to be effective, lickety-split, so quickly. And I'm going to move fast. We're going to see a bunch of different things, and, you know, it's going to be painless. Actually, it's going to be enjoyable. And if it isn't, triple your money back. All right, so there's that. So that is on the 5th, the evening of the 5th. It's a Tuesday night. It's right after the Labor Day weekend. All right, there's that. Then I'm there on the 9th and 10th for any of you people that are already sold on this and you want to join. It'll be this great two-day intensive on the 9th and 10th. Then I'm going to Tampa for the 16th and 17th. And I'm going to be doing a two-day intensive there. Any of you actors in the Tampa area, please feel free to get a hold. I'll give you all the details on that if you'd like to jump in and work out for that weekend with me. After that, I'm going to be in New York City, Manhattan. I'll be there actually for the week of the 18th of September, and I think it'll be the 19th or 20th. I'm going to be doing a free evening lecture demonstration thing in Manhattan. So if you would like to participate, watch, come in, see what's going on, I would love for you to be there. Hey, I got a big mouth, man. You know, come watch me throw down. And then if it doesn't work out or it's, you're not impressed or, you know, I don't do what I say, walk up to me and just go like that. I'll take it. Bring it. Okay, so there's that. So what would really be helpful is if you people in those areas of town showed up. Be great to meet you. And if you're not in those areas of town and you know people in those areas of town, what would really be great if you told them to show up to this thing and to check it out. There's that. And so there you have it. So let's go over what we've gone over. Would you please either send me some ideas for podcasts, because I'd love to address them. It'll be fun to tackle an idea or a subject that, you know, I wasn't thinking about. Questions, would love to hear from you. I'm speaking to you. That's right, you right there. Please just go to your email right after this is over and type out something to me. How about that? Can I still say type? Okay, there's that. Right? Finally, hit that follow button. You know the follow button there on Podomatic? Or subscribe, would you do that? That would be doing me a solid, because it would be showing me your visible support. There's nothing wrong with visible support, folks. In many cultures, it's considered a really good thing. Okay, so now let's move on to how do you get out of your head? Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Well, first of all, what were you doing in your head? You're saying, don't tell me you got lost on your way to the restroom. What were you doing in there? See, I think the less time we spend in there, the better. Now, obviously, we think about things. We need to think about things. But I believe there's an approach that is less cerebral and a little more visceral. Okay? When I'm dealing with actors in class or directing, I love to give them a visceral feel for what the thing is. And I'm going to give you an example so you'll see exactly what I mean. And it was as a result of a Skype session I had with a man in Los Angeles. And we were going over the material for a callback for something. And he's playing a captain of police and some women, as he brings up in this, giving out the information in this scene. Some women had died in the past in that town. And now, as we start to do the math, we see that now there's this woman. Now it could be there was another woman. So he's really looking at about five murders in his in this area that he's telling this FBI agent about. Well, the first thing I did when I got to this point was we were talking about it, and perhaps, you know, what he's communicating to the FBI agent, whatnot. I bring up things that I think in real life people would think about. One of them was, so how many people have died on your watch that you haven't been able to figure out who killed them? And you see right there, that's a question a lot of actors don't ask. Actors are always thinking of the tricky stuff they're going to do, you see? And I could tell, this is the first time I'd worked with this gentleman, I could tell when I was asking him that question, so how many people is it? I guess he had to think about it. Makes sense. I mean, it didn't really happen. It's a script. It's these are sides. But you see, I'm always focusing on what people would be concerned with. And so I started to build this with him. I said, okay, so there was three. And now there's this other one that even though you don't think it's connected to those other three, there was that one. Then there's a lady you're walking up on. So right here we have five people. And I had to get him to really count on it, go through who it was. And look, this is a sharp fellow. It's just that actors don't think practically because that's just not how that we've been trained. We're thinking about other things. I mean, we kind of know, we're talking about. But then I said, so then how would that be for you? I mean, it would seem to me that a point of pride for a captain of a police force in a particular part of town, a point of pride would be, you know, murders that didn't go unsolved. And so to have five women unsolved murders, wouldn't that be kind of a, well, a bit of a bugaboo for you? Wouldn't that be kind of bothersome? Now, you see what I could see is happening as I'm talking about it. I can see it kind of dawning. I can feel it kind of rushing through his head as I'm talking about it. And this is what I'm used to with an actor. I can see it hitting them viscerally, that just certainly that point. Now I can build on that. So I say, so now the people upstairs, which would be the FBI, have showed up. And how would you feel about having to give this information out and basically admit that on your watch, five women have died and you don't have any answers? Now, you know, maybe in a movie world, well, you know, that's just the way things are sometimes. But what I always tell actors is, yeah, but don't go to the movie world. Just it's here, it's now, it's that town over there. And you're the, so what would you think? Now you see, what I mean by this is, yes, we have to think about that. Of course, you use your brain. I'm speaking. You're taking the words and understanding. But what's happening is it's really just asking you to let it kind of wash over you and hit you and think, yeah, that would, I mean, if what I cared about was lawful behavior, I'm failing. Exactly. Now, what happens is, you see, as the actor talks about it, it kind of Well, they don't get defensive because they're not trying to manipulate the moment. And in real life, it's not like you'd be defensive while you were talking about it. But my goodness, you would have to divulge this information to a theoretical crackerjack of law enforcement who essentially has been brought in to fix your boo-boos. In real life, that wouldn't be a prideful day for me, I'd have to admit. Right? The other thing was, he mentions in the scene, he has to apologize for a lady that keeps showing up every time another woman dies because she is looking for her lost sister or daughter. I can't remember. But so she thinks, well, could it be this person? And she's a bit of a badger, as one would expect someone who's looking for a missing loved one to be. But he says, but look, I didn't say anything, but it was mentioned in the press or something. So she's going to be here. And hey, you know, she wants to talk to you. So then I said, okay, so imagine that. Imagine because of bad police work or inept or just, I don't know, you couldn't get it done police work. There is a person still missing that a loved one is looking for. And now you're basically saying this person is going to be on you like a bull terrier. And now you have to explain it. Now, so let's just stop thinking about movies and television for a second and just think about it in real life. That would be a bit of an embarrassment. It would be a bit of a, I'm not doing, like, you know, look, we have job pride, right? So forget you being an actor. You're a police captain somewhere. This kind of stuff would be an embarrassment. It would be bothersome. You're saying, hey, something I couldn't solve. Well, the mother of that child knows you're here now and it's going to want to talk to you about. So this FBI, these FBI people now, you're having to already kind of front load them with this information. This person's going to be all over you because apparently I couldn't do my job. Now, is that really what it means? No, I'm sure the guy worked really hard, but he couldn't solve it. But, you know, we're all very insecure, touchy people. And when, you know, hotshots in law enforcement, people that we might even aspire to want to be sometimes, show up and have to clean up our mess, in real life, you know, that's not a great day. Now, how does that manifest? I don't know, man. Don't overthink it. You understand what I'm talking about, right? You felt it when I said it. You thought, oh yeah, there would be that, wouldn't there? Just think about it. Just think about that for a moment. Now, you see how those thoughts, they don't go that deep because they're not complicated thoughts. They're very visceral, feeling, you know, completely understood, simple building blocks of life that you just get. Okay, right, fail, no good, bummer. Person who is, you know, more powerful than me shows up now to fix my thing. You understand that? That's so easy to understand, right? Now, the reason why you won't go into your head with it is because it's not that ponderous. It's very straightforward. And that's a way of working that I think is way more powerful because it doesn't ask you to get all cerebral and really get into the detailery of stuff, which is just by nature of the way they're designed, the lingo that's used with traditional acting, the breaking down of beats and the emotional this and the substitutions that, you know. You are taking a scene now and you're basically becoming a taxidermist. You were killing it, and then you are now going to stuff it, and if you get the eyes just right, we may think it's alive. Now, my style of work for the actors would be more like as if you're kind of like bloodhounds. You're kind of like these, bloodhounds, crime-solving bloodhounds. And in the beginning, I line the actors up by giving them just the right amount of information. You know, the evidence that we have. And the bloodhound gives a sniff, picks up the scent on what the thing is, and goes after the thing. Kind of like a bloodhound / Terminator. You just go for it. I am positive that getting out of your head is definitely the yellow brick road to real art, real artistry in acting. So could we at least agree that it would be fabulous to positively, at will, get out of our heads whenever we needed to. Could we agree on that? I'm going to assume you all said yes. Okay, then. Well, here's how you get out of your head. You have to put your mind somewhere else. And that place that you put it, you have to have decided, is more important than the other thing, which I think what we're talking about is when we say being in our head is being self-aware, self-conscious, you know, feeling that we're at the wheel, that we know the lines are coming up. I'm kind of staring at your face. I'm very aware of everything, and I'm in my head, and I hear every line, and I'm in a place I don't want to be. There's no freedom here. I feel like I'm kind of just hanging on and trying to get through it, but I'm just very aware of myself in a way that I would not think that great art acting would be. It's not freeing, and in life it would give me the heebie-jeebs. I think that's what we're talking about, yes? Well, the only way to get out of that is to electively put your mind someplace else. Because, of course, if you just say, get out of my head, well, then go where? And then, you know, you don't really have an instruction there, so it's just, don't do this, as opposed to what? And so there you do, languishing in this soup you're in. No, you have to put it somewhere else. And now that may seem to you like, oh, obviously. I mean, yeah, but how? Right. Well, calm down. You know, in life, it's not a problem at all. At all. We can just put our mind in life wherever we want to, it seems. Look, most of the time, again, there's a, you know, exception. There's an exception to everything I say, but I mean, we put our mind on this TV show I want to watch. I put my mind here. I decide to put my mind on my food. Somebody says something to me, I decide to put my mind there. You know, the phone rings, I'm in the middle of this, but I answer the phone and decide to put my mind from this thing that was consuming me a second ago to this thing which I've decided is more important. We decide these things. And then we put our mind there because we've made that decision, because after all, we are the chef and we decide what goes on our menu every day and what the special is. We get to make those decisions. But then you say, yes, but I try that. I said, yeah, well, just like Yoda said, there is no try. There is only do or do not. So, you know, not to quote the old man, but he's never been more right. So how do you get there? Well, it takes a little practice. It's a little bit like, you know, building a muscle. You just have to do it, and you have to keep doing it, and then you have to sustain it, almost like going into a free dive. You have to be able to just stay down longer. You have to be able to stay with this thing, this place you want to be longer. And you get better at it, just like the free diver does. And you get to stay in it longer because you keep doing it. You just don't go like, oh, I'm out of breath. I can't ever do this. I'll never get to the bottom. No, you can't do that. You have to just start doing it. So what does that mean? Well, that means that we use our powers of make-believery. And we decide that this thing that we're talking about, this fictional piece of fiction that we're talking about, is the only thing that's important to us right now in that whatever it is we're describing or arguing about or you know, trying to make a change to win, to whatever it is we're doing in this particular scene, we decide that really at the heart of that, that thing that I'm trying to settle with this fellow sitting across from me, this moment right here, not an acting moment, this actual communication I'm having with this fellow, this disagreement I'm addressing, is taking precedence over everything. That's how we get out of our head. Why? Well, because that's how we do in life. That's exactly how we do it. And you see, the problem, one of the many problems with traditional thinking, is that traditional acting approach is that you've been taught that you get there by backstories and lists and beat making and underlining and breaking up and writing in the margins and everything else. Well, it's a lot of stuff to think about that you're not going to be thinking about. You see, we hear these phrases. They've been around forever. I think they can mean a couple of different things. One of them is less is more. I just don't think it means in the actual execution of the acting. I think it could also mean in the material, the information. The information. It's just like bogging down a computer with way too much information when what you really need for the scene to work is the right information. So for me, it's what is that magic amount of information that you need to be the bloodhound terminator that takes off in pursuit of this scene? What is that magic balance? Actors have been made to believe, oh no, the more the merrier, man. Keep doing it. Make that thing longer. 82 pages of backstory. You got to immerse. You got to live. You got to, lay in the coffin every night. Nah, I don't think so. Not in my journeys. Not in my rapt attention of how it all works and particularly how life works. No, it's always a couple of really simple things, you see. I think that the perfect harmony, the perfect balance, you see, and it works like this. It would almost be like the exact fuel-air mixture, going back to my love of old cars, in the carburetor to burn in the cylinders and power your car. What is that exact perfect fuel-air mixture? Now, if memory serves me, I believe that it is right around 12 to 1. So one part gas, 12 parts air. That's what you're more or less burning around that zone. For me, it's kind of like that with actors. What is the information and what is that right amount of information so I can get them to burn it with the most combustion? So a little too much gas, I'm going to flood the thing out. You see, if I start adding too much gas, not enough air, I'm going to bog the engine down. I'm going to foul the plugs. It's not going to work. There's too much juice there. If I lean it out too much, it's not going to fire right. So I'm looking for that information. What is the correct information and the correct amount of it? Because you see, I firmly believe that if I can get it to that right amount of fuel you're going to burn, I can get the actor to that proper amount of flexibility, that proper amount of area where they know they're going to be going with their gut now, because we've cut down on what the obligations are going into the way they're going to express themselves. They have great ideas, but the magic, you see, the stuff we're going to create on the spot is I want my actors to have a certain amount of range that they're definitely going to be expected to make it up, but they have that flexibility. And the more information they get, the more, improper information with regard to, Jesus, just the absolute laying out of lines and, underlining in the beats and everything, you are now taking that part of the pie and you are starting to force it and make it more and more narrow. Now it's a little sliver, you see, and it's a little sliver because we have the rest of the pie's obligation. Yep, we've got it all worked out ahead of time. We're going to pretend to forget it all. We're going to pretend that, just throw that away. Throw all that away. But then as you throw it away, what happens is it's stuck to you. It's all over. You got it all over your back. You can't even tell it's all there. And then you're going to end up making yourself do all the stuff that you have planned and you're pretending like you can't even remember you planned it. But of course, you're doing all of it. And so there it all is. And it takes up most of the pie. And then you got this little sliver where, you can do just a little bit of on-the-spot creativity, but, oh my goodness, you just got so much obligation with the rest of the pie that, come on, you're almost tuckered out. How can I possibly, in this little sliver, be really creative? No. I would rather make the pie where the majority of it, you see, the majority of it is the actor, like a Picasso, like any great artist, is going to create it right there, right in front of the studio audience. And then there's going to be this smaller part of the pie is the information, the drive, the scent, the cold, hard, visceral facts that they need to know to go in, get in the cage, and fight it out. I know some of this stuff sounds wacky, the way that I explain myself, but I'm hoping it's hitting you in a visceral way, that the imagery is affecting you. You're seeing these crazy analogies I'm making, but you're still getting it. So, how do we get out of our heads? We make the place that we're supposed to put it more important than the place we're trying to get out of. That's the trick. Now, I'm sorry, but that's the trick of acting. That's it. That's it in a nutshell, folks. It's just like when I was talking about my experience flying the helicopter, that if you can hover, you've pretty much nailed the hardest part of flying a helicopter. Well, if you can get to the point that you can just put your mind where it needs to be because you deem it so, well, you have figured out the hover. You're on your way. You're on your way to being a master. So you need to take this very, very seriously because this is the hover. That power you get then, you see, you use it in every aspect of working. On a set, fighting a clock, fighting the sun. The other guy keeps flubbing his lines. You're flubbing your lines. We had to completely change this scene. This, you know, whatever malady occurs on a set where they need us to be serious gunslingers and we really need to toe the line and make this stuff happen pronto. If you want to be excellent at this, and it also means in the audition as well, right? That also means from the very start. That also means from being able to walk into a room and put your mind where it needs to be when you audition and not on all the extraneous stuff that's there like quicksand to take us down. So this power of being able to put your mind, get out of your own head and then put it where it needs to be is something that you first recognize you actually have the power to do. And you see, what actors do is they just languish in that idea of, I can't, I just couldn't. And then I was like, you know, as if it's what? You don't know how to curb your dog being your brain? Well, we've got to get good at it, right? And we're way better at it in life than we are when we act. So there's hope. Because in life, you people are way better at it than you are when you act. I mean, if you people could get as good as being able to put your mind where you want it to be, when you want it to be there, as you are in life, oh, you go right up the stairs with this stuff, man. Absolutely, and I know you know what I'm talking about, and so let's look at that for a second. Do you understand how by making yourself believe that you've got to get to that place of getting out of your head by doing some sort of whatever your regimen is, whether it's exercising or drinking oolong tea or, you know, making lists or meditating or whatever it is, whatever that thing is that you're telling yourself you need to do to get there, do you understand how that act right there is taking power, is robbing you of power? Right? Because you can do whatever you want at any moment. If you want to do it, you could do it. So we have to be able to acquire that power. For some of you, a simple little lecture like this will work, and you'll start to think, huh? And then you'll get in there, and it'll be like a huge difference. For others of you, you'll hit it and you'll become more aware of that fact that you've been doing that, that you think there's another way to it, that you just don't realize that you could just put your mind, you start, and it'll start to come to you incrementally. And what's really important is that you just keep encouraging yourself. Because what may happen is you'll go into the next audition and really be able to focus better and not be worried about all that stuff that, you know, always knocks us off the tracks. And then maybe the one after that, oh, you backslide, and then you just figure it's no good for you. No. You got to persist. It's a muscle. And you have to get it stronger. So you pick the thing in the scene that you decide is more important to you being in your head, something that you can actually go after, a thing you need to do to get out of your head. So if it's in the audition, it's, you know, listen, actually hook up with the person you're reading with, convince them that, you know, this is all a rumor and you're a good teacher at this high school and that, you know, this is just somebody trying to slander you. And actually make what's important, you actually communicating that to the other human being standing in front of you. And if you make that more important than all your acting notes or getting the job, your acting, that's how it works, you see. So we pick a thing, and we get better at it too, at being able to label what that is, what that important thing is that you want. But I always say, go to the book of life. Go to the book of life. Look at the scene that you're working on. Think about if this was in real time, real life. What are the important aspects of here? What would you be concerned about in real life? Where does your mind really go in real life? You know, what are these petty, stupid concerns we have sometimes? And then you just put your mind there because you've decided to, because you're the chef. That's how it works. That's how you get out of your head. You put it someplace else. You have the power to do all of this, folks. The trick is going to be finding that visceral thing, not the cerebral issue, the visceral one. Life is very simple, you know. You think that because people are, you know, I don't know what, PhDs or they're psychologists or, you know, brain surgeons that, you know, they get upset about really lofty things. No, it's all the same stuff. You know, why'd you look at him? What happened to the soup? Why didn't you go? Oh, I see you hand him ice cream before you hand it to me. You know, I thought you loved me. You know, I'm sorry, but I don't think that kind of pettiness, you know, that kind of sad ass, you know, we're all children to the very end. I think that sticks with more people than you imagine. You know, I think at the end of the day, we're simple people with simple feelings and, you know, we get hurt. And we become fixated on things, not big, you know, cerebral issues. You know, you cheated me. I thought you were my friend. Even if it's about something and it's like, you know, 10 lawyers are in on it. And they got to decipher even what the thing says. I think that at the heart of it, there is this, I can't believe it, man. He was my friend for 30 years. And that's what we talk about. And that's what pushes us through entire scenes. And that's what, you know, we lock on like a laser-guided missile. And that's it. It's the actor who sits around and says, oh, I'm going to spice this up. Watch this. On this line, at this thing, you see, I'm going to look down. Then I'll look up here. If you want to get out of your head, focus on the human issues in the scene, not the acting issues. That's what I have for you today. Follow us on Podomatic. Send me some questions. Give me some topics. See me in LA, see me in New York, Tampa. Come on, man. I mean, are you digging this or what? Thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Please subscribe. Let us know you're listening on social media and feel free to email us at jeff@reallifeactor.com with any questions you'd like me to answer on the air. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.